Back in October, Syracuse Mayor-elect Ben Walsh, who ran as an independent, was trailing Democratic candidate Juanita Perez-Williams. He was behind among women and was almost an afterthought among African-American voters. But after the launch of a grassroots group, Dems for Ben, and picking up the endorsement of several of the city's most prominent black women, including Helen Hudson, a common counselor at large and co-founder of Mothers Against Gun Violence, he saw a remarkable turnaround. Ultimately, Walsh pulled together a coalition of some establishment Democrats, enough voters of color, and the business community to win a solid victory over Perez-Williams. Mayor-elect Ben Walsh joins me now to discuss his victory as well as his vision for the city, a city that faces some enormous challenges. Ben Walsh, welcome to the Capitol Press Room.
Thanks, Susan. Happy to be here.
So congratulations, first of all.
Thanks so much.
So what do you think the factors were that led to your victory over a major party candidate?
Boy, it was there was a lot. You know, I felt like from the time I launched my campaign, which was just about a year ago, we continued to build momentum throughout. We obviously started far from where we are today, but every time we needed a little bump, we seemed to get it. And I just felt like right at the end, I was peaking at the right time. I had built a broad, diverse coalition of supporters that really took me over the top.
Well, describe, how would you characterize that group?
It transcended every boundary you can imagine, political boundaries, racial boundaries, cultural boundaries. We were bonded by a common desire to move this community forward and to focus on what was in the best interest of the city of Syracuse above all else. The people that came on board, you know, these are people that I've developed relationships with over a long period of time, and those relationships really really helped throughout the campaign.
I heard a lot about temperament in this campaign, Ben Walsh, and sometimes that word is used as a negative when it comes to women politicians. And I'm wondering if you have anything to say about that, considering your predecessor is a woman and that you beat a woman.
Yeah, I prefer not to use that comparison, that term, for that very reason. I tried to focus on my track record. You know, I've built a track record over the past 16 years working in the public, private, and not-for-profit sector as someone that does what I did during the campaign, that brings people together, builds coalitions, builds consensus, and ultimately gets things done. And I think that, you know, I was able to point to that track record and point to tangible results. And I think that right now that's what people want more than anything. They want their leaders working together and getting things done, and I'm prepared to do that.
Do you consider yourself to have a mandate from the voters?
I don't know about that. I think that my message resonated. The coalition that I built helped to attract a lot of different supporters from a lot of different parts of the city. So, no, I don't look at it as a mandate. I just I look at it as an opportunity to keep this coalition together, to build it, and to bring that right on through to January 1st when we get to City Hall.
So Syracuse has some really big problems. It has some of the most concentrated poverty in the nation. It has a heavy burden of legacy costs. And I'm wondering what your vision is for tackling these challenges.
Yeah, we talked about it a lot during the campaign. And boy, on the poverty issue, we have to tackle it at all levels. We have to look at it from a housing policy standpoint. How do we develop more mixed income neighborhoods? How do we create more home ownership on the workforce development side? How do we make sure that we're training people for jobs that are available? How do we get more of our young people employed? That's something that really resonated with voters throughout the city. The school district is one thing, and I talked a lot about that. But also when our kids aren't in school, what other opportunities do we have for them to develop skills and to prepare themselves for careers?
I'm so glad you mentioned housing policy. You mentioned it first. Yeah. I don't know if that's meaningful, but sometimes with housing policy, it's about really getting granular and talking to neighbors and talking to people and overcoming certain biases and fears. Are you willing to put in that sort of legwork?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have to. We not only do we have a poverty issue, we have a concentrated poverty issue, and that's a direct result of failed housing policies over over a long period of time.
Segregation, let's just say.
That's right. Absolutely. No, you're right. Segregation, yeah. You know, racial segregation, socioeconomic segregation. We have this issue because policies were put in place long ago that put us into this situation. So we need to be just as intentional about the policies that get us out of it.
Do you have any thoughts at this stage on raising revenues? It's something that, you know, I know politicians don't particularly like to talk about, taxes, bringing in other revenue streams, but Syracuse does have debt, a lot of it, and I'm wondering how you're going to handle it.
Yeah, you have to look at it in both the short and the long term. In the long term, I want to grow our way out of this problem. My background is in economic development. I think we have opportunities to build our tax base long term that will help us work our way out of this problem. But in the short term, we are on an unsustainable path, and without generating some significant revenue and, frankly, getting some help along the way, we're going to be in trouble. So I've tried to be creative. I've looked at the surplus of properties that the city owns, much of which are not in productive use, that we could put into productive use and generate some short-term revenue from sale and lease proceeds and long-term revenue getting back on the tax rolls. I think we need to look at our water rates, especially in light of our infrastructure challenges, and potentially increasing those. You know, property taxes are always at the bottom of the list in terms of raising property taxes because, you know, they're so high already. But everything has to be on the table because we have to work our way out of this problem.
A couple of years ago, the region was awarded $500 million from that Upstate Revitalization Initiative. It was a huge victory. Some of the money was earmarked for poverty, some for transformational projects. And I'm wondering, when will this transformation take place? And I ask because there are some people who say the progress is moving too slowly and they don't see transformation on the horizon. What's your take?
Yeah, I think it's always going to be too slow for me, and it should be. You know, I have a sense of urgency. I think this region has a sense of urgency that we need to, we need to change direction. I see some signs of that give me hope. You know, on the poverty angle as it relates to the $500 million. You know, we set aside $50 million to address poverty. $20 million of that went to fully fund the Say Yes to Education initiative in perpetuity, but we've got $30 million that the county is accepting applications on right now to directly address poverty. One of, I mentioned my youth employment program proposal, and we're going to be working with CNY Works, the local workforce development agency, to apply for those funds. So that's just beginning to roll out. And on the economic development side, you know, we've seen some significant state investments in our unmanned aerial systems industry, drone technology.
Drones, yeah.
And I'm really bullish on drones being an important part of our economic recovery.
Some of the economic development projects have not done all that well, like the film hub. What are your plan for that?
Well, you know, you have to look at each one independently. And, you know, during my time at City Hall, anytime a project came across my desk, I tried to do a couple things. Number one, to make sure it aligned with our overall economic development priorities and plans. Number two, to make sure that it was that it needed public investment. You know, we did a lot of financial due diligence to make sure that these projects actually needed our help. And then if we satisfied that, then it was a matter of trying to maximize the community benefit of these projects above and beyond just the investment in the jobs associated directly with that project. What else can we do?
But the film hub in particular, Ben Walsh, what are you going to do about that?
Well, the film hub is not located in the city of Syracuse. It's been a project primarily driven by Onondaga County. So I haven't been that directly involved in it. I plan to work with County Executive Mahoney and her team. If there's a role for the city to play to help that project, I'm happy to play it. But I'm going to focus on what's happening directly in the city.
So two of the greatest challenges that Syracuse may soon face are going to come from the state and the federal governments. Albany has a $4 billion budget gap. Washington is working on this tax overhaul. Among all the nightmare scenarios that these issues could create for you, which are keeping you up at night?
Well, you know, specific to the state, I had a great conversation last week with Governor Cuomo.
Did he call you?
He did. Yeah, we
When did he call you, and what did he say?
I can't remember what day it was, but it was after the election. I spoke first with his chief of staff, maybe the day after, and then either Thursday or Friday, I had a conversation with the governor. We talked about the special bond of father and son having been elected to public office, and that was a cool conversation. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about serious issues. Yeah, I talked about the city's financial challenges. I specifically brought up Route 81 and the opportunity we have there. And I thanked him for his interest and investment in upstate throughout his tenure, and wanted to make sure that he knew he had a ready and willing partner in City Hall to work with him. So I think we got off on the right foot.
So I asked you about nightmare scenarios that keep you up. We have about a minute, and are you ready, willing, and able to confront both the governor and, say, Congressman Katko on any decisions that they make that might not be good news for the city of Syracuse?
Absolutely. My job as mayor will be to look out for the best interests of the citizens of Syracuse above all else. I pride myself on somebody that can develop and nurture relationships. I plan to do that with the governor, with Congressman Katko, all of our state and federal representatives. But ultimately, if their actions, I deem them not to be in the best interest of the city of Syracuse, I'm going to tell them that. But my approach is always to disagree respectfully, to continue to come back to the table, and to seek compromise. So that's what I'll do in those situations.
So I have about 100,000 more questions for you, but they're going to have to wait for another time, or maybe several more times. So we look forward to having you back.
Happy to come back anytime, Susan.
Syracuse Mayor-elect Ben Walsh. What a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.